That lament is Flowers of the Forest, a lament. And you may, in the celebrations, not the celebrations, the commemorations for D-Day, have heard that lament played by a piper, either on the day before or the actual D-Day commemoration day. A lament. And I guess many of you watched some of those programmes about that occasion, and you may have well seen veterans who had been there on that day, hearing their comments, seeing them crying as they lamented over the loss of comrades all those years ago. And also lamenting about the state of our world today, which in many ways is in a terrible situation. And the psalm that we have just been reading, Psalm 22, is a psalm of lament as well. And it is written, as we know, by David. And the words that came from the beginning of it, and we also heard it from Mark. In Mark's words about Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the end of that last hour of his on the cross. Words from the beginning of Psalm 22 as we read, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the words are, as David said, my God, my God. And that speaks of a relationship with God, a relationship that had started for David as a very young man. And then later on in his life, still in a teenager, this young David is called by God to be a successor to King Saul, the then king of the country, because Saul had stopped following and honouring and obeying God. So amazingly, God chose this very young man. Why? He had many other brothers. He was the youngest, but he was the one who was closest to God. And as we know, at first, all went well. David was eventually brought into King Saul's household. Things were going well. He actually married Michal, Saul's daughter, and one of Saul's sons, Jonathan, became David's best friend. It was all going so well. And then Saul's attitude began to change towards David. And the reason was that David was becoming popular. He was successful in battle against the country's enemies, but things became difficult. But in spite of those difficulties, David remained close to God. The relationship did not break down. So the question for us really about that. Do I have a relationship with God? Do you? And if I have, how do I keep maintaining that relationship and keeping close to God? And then eventually there was an even more dramatic change for David. Saul became really jealous of him and determined that he would kill him. And David fled from the king's palace, went away. He became a fugitive. He had to run for his life in many occasions. He hid in caves. He left that country. He was in a desperate situation. And in verses 6 and 7, we read these words, that people scorn, despise, mock, insult him. And in those sort of rather graphic details that we read ourselves in verse 12 and 16, we have this: many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that rear their that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me, they pierce my hands and my feet. Terrible. Picture language, metaphors for the opposition to David. David was in a terrible situation. He becomes physically exhausted. He says this: I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. He's in a terrible mess physically, mentally exhausted too, I would suggest. And then, as we realize, and as we know, David certainly was not in a good situation, not in a good place. And that can be for me and for you too. We have to recognize that. See, because following God does not mean that we're all going to have a lovely, smooth life. I've experienced some of the ups and downs of life, and I'm sure you have too. So, David says this. He told God his feelings. Why have you forsaken me? He rails at God. Why have you not done anything for me? Why are you not with me? I call out to you, but you don't listen, you don't answer. Has that been your experience? You desperately want God to help you and he doesn't seem to answer you. Why? Well, I can't imagine the answer really. Maybe occasionally I think it might be he's testing your faith. But he knows why. And I don't always know why. But what he did was he told God about it. But he even questioned God's inaction, didn't he? When he said, why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you answering me? So if you and I are in a challenging or depressing or difficult situation or going through a tragedy, we can still be honest with God. He doesn't mind if you moan at him. And if you explain what a mess you're in, he doesn't mind at all. And the Psalms show that, which is an encouragement, really, because you probably think, oh, I should be more faithful. I should be a better Christian. Uh-oh. We all make mistakes. But we can always come to God and be honest with God. Theologian John Proctor said this: prayer is a place for truth, even when truth is painful. Even when truth is painful for us. And Ray Porter, a retired missionary who then ministered in a Little Hay prison not far from here, said this: the fact that Christ on the cross cried out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" gives us boldness to cry out when we feel abandoned by God. It underlines the fact that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he himself suffered like this. And as David cried out to God and moaned at God and complained and so on, a ray of light comes into his mind and he says, "You are enthroned as the Holy One." In other words, God's in charge. He's in charge today. It may not seem it in our world, but he is in charge. And one day we'll certainly know that. A verse that we didn't have, verse 28, "Dominion belongs to the Lord," said David, "and he rules over the nations." Yes? Do you believe that? Do Do you trust in that statement that God rules over the nations? You see, he lets us have free will. And because of that free will, and because of sinful nature, that's why our world is in such a mess. But David also then remembered what had happened to his ancestors, those people long before he lived, who had put their trust in God, he said, who delivered them when they cried out and they were saved. And of course, an example of that for it is when the people cried out to God and they were being oppressed and persecuted in Egypt, and he led them out of Egypt. David believed that God had been with him right from birth, as we see in that psalm. But of course, he had ultimately to put, like his ancestors, his trust in God, as we have to do. So he prayed again, "Do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me." You see, the Lord certainly is with us, even though we may feel he's distant. Jesus died on the cross, didn't he? So that as we trust in him, we can be forgiven and receive everlasting life. And we can be sure that he is with us and in us. He does listen to our cries for help. And David eventually discovered that the Lord had answered his cry for help, and has said he can do that for us too. David also had a glimpse into the future, which we heard in verse 30. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring it to a people yet unborn. That happened to us, didn't it? He has done it, is the closing word. Yes, God has done it. And the good news about God's love was completed on the cross when Jesus cried out these words, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Then he died. And as we read, the temple curtain split from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies was open. And that signifies that you and I, through Jesus, have direct access to God. Right now, you have it. You don't need an intermediary. You can go straight to God and tell him all your situations, what it's like. And as we do that, as we, I hope, come to God day by day and tell him how you've messed up and ask for his forgiveness, he can restore that relationship to us. We can be restored day by day. And as David said in that song, those who seek the Lord will praise him. A comment of confidence. It is finished. He has done it. Amen.